This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is. It's Friday. We confirmed it by checking our bank accounts. Maybe I was not the only one who did it. Did you guys do it too? Because I realized it was payday, and I said that to the guys, and we had a great little party there for a second. And then I checked to be sure, because, you know, I do trust the company and all, but it's electronic, so things can always go wrong. So it's there. The money is officially still there. I have said this to my boss before, though I hope he's forgotten. I would do this job for free if I could live that way. Thankfully, they don't ask me to. But it is always nice every 2 weeks to know that you have the money to pay your bills after a job well done. Or sometimes well done. Sometimes not so well done. But thankfully, they don't boot me after a couple mistakes. They ride with me, and I do appreciate that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Your answers are highly entertaining. Now, our show question isn't quite like it was last night. Oh, my gosh. We got about 1,000 responses to our question last night, and they continued all the way through Thursday, which was really cool. I love it when you guys get as invested in a show question as I do. And it was fun, right? It was fun to kind of go down memory lane. We played music that we'll never play again here on the show. Well, we would if I had my way. But it could be a while before you hear Vanilla Ice on the show again, or before you we may never hear William Hung on the show again. Actually, you know what? We got off the air yesterday morning, and I said to the guys, we need to do an 80s night. We need to do a 90s night. We need to spread these out, a 70s night, even though I'm not sure I have any. Why would I have any 70s clothing? I guess I'd have to borrow some from my mom. But I feel like when we get past, let's say when we get past March Madness and through the month of April, and we have more fun to play, we have more time to play with, we can have some more fun, we should do some decades nights where you could send us photos of yourself dressed up in 80s, 90s, 70s garb, whatever. I guess for the millennials, we'd have to do a 2000s. What do they call that? 80s, 90s, 1000s? I don't like that. I mean,
the aughts.
Okay. For a second there, I was speechless. The aughts. Actually, my nieces love the 80s and 90s, so I feel like the aughts are not interested in having their own decade. But anyway, we'll do some fun stuff. We're going to do a battle of the bands in 2020 as well, and I'll explain that. We can't now. There's so much going on. But we will once we get into the spring and the summertime. We've got some fun plans for the upcoming year to start a new decade. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, Twitter as well, A-Law Radio. And again, I really appreciate your responses to tonight's show question, which is unlike last night. But this is the first football weekend. Now, see, I said it. This is the first weekend without football, actually. It's not a football weekend. It's the first weekend since September with no football. How will you fill the void? You guys are killing me with some of your answers. On Facebook, I have to share this one with you guys because I think you'll like it. It's very simple, and yet Mario is very firm in his response. He will cry. And yes, I am laughing at your pain. John says the PGA will fill the void for him. Kevin says a little laundry and a nap I wouldn't normally take. Hear, hear. I agree with that. I might take two naps on Sunday to celebrate. We'll see. David says PBA professional bowling started last Sunday. We don't judge. The winner threw a 300 game in the championship match. So for him, it's bowling. Steven says, I'm watching the Senior Bowl. I live next to Notre Dame, so a huge college football recruiting guy. Charles says, read, run, fidget. I fidget even when there is football, but definitely the read and the run will be fun. Greg on Facebook, Chop Fest in the ATL, welcoming the Braves back to the field. It's funny that you say that because last weekend wasn't, and this may be the case for a bunch of other baseball teams, I'll assume. Last week, it happened to be the Winter Fan Fest for the Astros. So that was where Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman made their appearances and their cryptic remarks. Ron says painting the baby's room because he and his wife are expecting in April. Another post on our Facebook page, go skiing. I like it. I like the skiing. Oh, William's mad at us, you guys. Why doesn't the Pro Bowl count? Last time I checked, NFL players will be on the field. So there. Joshua says he's hanging out with his friends for dinner. That's awesome. I actually did that on Thursday evening. I went to eat Mexican. It was so good. I haven't had Mexican in so long. I housed those chips. Anthony says tobogganing. I didn't know you could turn that into an ing word, but I like it. Progressive tense. Tobogganing, present progressive, with the grandson. That sounds awesome. Jacob says time to hibernate. David, a man after my own heart, says take a nap. Zach, just keep watching the Bucks win, I guess. Ho-hum, I guess. And then Tim says hockey and basketball. Oh, now see, Jim's already looking for trouble. Catching up on my partying. I feel like if you have to tell people that you're a badass, then it probably doesn't apply. Probably the opposite is true. Greg on Facebook, go grocery shopping. Oh yeah, that's me too. I have zero groceries. My fridge was so stuffed when the family was around for the holidays, and now it couldn't be emptier. Mike says it's Rolex 24 at Daytona Speed Weeks. Yes, it is. In fact, I have a friend who's working at Daytona. Started Wednesday. It is actually working all the way through the weekend. And then some of you are complaining because you think this time of the year sucks. I disagree with you. I think it's a great time to catch up on sleep. So I agree with Scott on our Facebook page. Here's Billy, though. This is how Billy is attacking the withdrawals. He's going to watch old Steelers highlights on YouTube. You guys crack me up. Oh, wait, was that serious? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So check out our Facebook page. You can look for the arrow in the bright green sign. It's neon green, so we get your attention. Free time this way. Free time this way. What will you be doing with your first non-football weekend since September? There is NBA hoops. There's also NHL. We talked about the PGA Tour. There's certainly Australian Open tennis. And a quick check, Coco Gauff made quick work of Naomi Osaka, who's the 3 seed in Melbourne. First set goes to Coco Gauff 6-3, and now they're tied in the second set. Here's what you can do over the course of the weekend. You can watch NBA players jack up threes like their lives depend on it.
Danny Green for 3. Are you kidding me? The Lakers hit another. Kenny Atkinson, the Nets coach, just throws his hands in the air and calls timeout. The Lakers are now shooting from 3. 14 of 23. LeBron back to AD. Corner Bradley. Three-pointer by Bradley. No good. Rebound LeBron up and in on a putback. 92-83. Lakers by 9. 107-96. The Lakers in front by 11. Here's a 3 by KCP. Good. The Lakers 19th 3 of the game.
John Ireland on the Lakers radio network. You know what's not included in that montage of highlights? The fact that the Nets made 21 triples. So between the two teams, they made 40 threes. Now, this happened to be a good shooting night, relatively good shooting night. The two teams combined for about 48% from beyond the arc. Each team took nearly 100 shots. and more than a third in fact, in the case of the Nets, she said, in the case of the Nets, nearly half their, actually more than half their shots were from downtown. This is why my passion for NBA hoops is shrinking. And I talked about this earlier in the week, and I posted the diagram. Remember I talked about it, or if you weren't listening, I did talk about it. It's on my Twitter. I'd encourage you to find it, A-Law Radio. There's, maybe producer Chris can retweet from our show account, After Hours CBS. There's a chart that I recently found by someone who works in the media and had access to the information. Top 200 shot locations in the NBA. 20 years ago versus this season. And right now, the mid-range jumper is non-existent. In fact, you have the shots that people take from within 5-6 feet. A lot of those offensive putbacks, layups, dunks. And then you have the three-point shot. It's incredible how much the game has changed and how much NBA teams rely on the three-point shot. Now, when you shoot them well, like the Lakers and the Nets did on Thursday night, well, then it can be entertaining. I get it. But when you have a James Harden shooting 1-for-17 from downtown, it makes me want to poke my eyes out. I have a really hard time getting excited about NBA hoops, especially when I'm watching teams that rely so heavily on the three. LeBron James, his 10th triple-double of the season, and this was a season-high 19 triples for the Lakers as they pulled away from the Nets and Kyrie Irving. And actually, LeBron closed within 17 points of Kobe Bryant for third on the NBA's all-time scoring list. So that may happen this weekend as well, that LeBron overtakes Kobe.
To be linked with the greats, that means a lot to me, because I grew up and idolizing Michael, and idolizing Kobe, idolizing these guys, gaining inspiration from their craft, gaining inspiration from their stories. Being a kid that I'm, from Akron, Ohio, so that's huge. Anytime I'm linked with the greats, or I'm able to do something in my career where I'm mentioned with any of the greats, it's a pretty cool thing. But as far as looking at the scoring, I don't know. It doesn't mean much to me. Just the overall point of my game is what means more to me. Me being able to be an overall all-around player, being able to be successful on the floor, and being able to contribute to the franchises I play for, the three franchises I play for so far in my career.
So LeBron James closing in on yet another milestone, and I'm not singling out the Lakers and Nets. I was just using their stats from Thursday night, but you know what? The Mavericks made 22 threes, and the Blazers made 21 threes. And again, both of them shot really well, but that's still a very low percentage shot when you're considering all of the options available. And it can be entertaining when you're watching a Luka Doncic post a triple-double, but he went 2 of 11 from beyond the arc last night. As I mentioned, James Harden notoriously had a 1-for-17 performance from downtown in the last week. I mean, I think about recent playoff stretches where we've had game sevens. I remember a couple of years ago, the game sevens in the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals, both home teams could do nothing but brick shots from downtown. And they refused to change strategies. It stayed that way. By the way, Damian Lillard, another incredible performance on Thursday night, 47 points. Wowzers, just had a 61-point performance earlier in the week. So in two games, he scored 108 points. That's impressive. So, yes, the NBA and the NHL will get more attention once football is over. The NBA All-Star break, the NHL All-Star break. I think that's this weekend, isn't it? The NHL All-Star break. And so those are going to get a little more prominence, a little more love. But I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time stomaching the current brand of NBA hoops and the trends and the way that they're going. So you can check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I did not post the graph on our Facebook page, but if you Google it, you can look it up. How will you fill the void? Because there is a big old void. Senior Bowl is coming up this weekend. So we'll let you hear from Jalen Hurts, Nick Saban, Forever Tide, Mobile, Alabama, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I saw this montage on a website somewhere. I'm actually not sure which one, so I'm not avoiding the issue. I just don't remember. It's what happens in our age of social media. It said it had a montage of Coach O's best quotes ever. So Coach Orgeron, who now is a national champion, which means he can say whatever he wants, and we're going to think it's funny. It's fantastic stuff, too. Like, he's in our After Hours Hall of Fame for that whole day when he was trying to hold a press conference, and there were guys that were running drills and fooling around back behind him in the field house, and he kept stopping the press conference to yell down to the other end of the field house, "Hey, I'm trying to hold a press conference here.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you."
He's such a great personality. Good for college football in the world of sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Update on the Australian Open. 15-year-old Coco Gauff just made very quick work of Naomi Osaka, and the 15-year-old is now flashing the pearly whites on court as she gets interviewed in Melbourne. Great for her, great for American tennis. She's got a ginormous smile and a wonderful game to match, and her family, they get all this time where her mom's like crossing every finger that she has. This is good for American tennis, and I'm so glad that she's burst onto the scene. It just brings a lot of energy and a lot of energy, as well as a lot of, I think, new fans, too. For the longest time, it's been Serena Williams, it's been Venus Williams, you know, a couple of other Americans here and there. But she's fresh and she's new and she's young. And I think she'll attract some brand new fans as well. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So you've got tennis this weekend, though no Serena Williams. She's out in the third round. You've got the PGA Tour on CBS. You've got the Senior Bowl, if you're jonesing for college football. And of course, it's a blend, right? It's an opportunity, a really high profile event for college seniors who are moving on to the NFL. So there's a huge NFL presence, not just media, but scouts and coaches. And then you've got your who's who of college football, and that includes Nick Saban. A neat reunion between the Alabama coach and his former quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who is there trying to highlight what he could bring to the table for an NFL team.
Especially good to see our players be able to do it, and Jalen, who I still consider one of our players, and in front of a lot of people that represent NFL teams who are going to make the decisions about their future. So always good to be here to support our players.
Being here, being back in the state is really well. I'm having this opportunity to play in this game and showcase my abilities and show what I'm made of. I'm thankful for it. I'm appreciative of it, and I'm ready to attack it.
So Jalen Hurts is back in Alabama after leaving for Oklahoma and having a really successful run. It's obviously a disappointing end in the college football playoff, though that happened with the Sooners before Jalen Hurts got there. And now he has an opportunity to participate in the Senior Bowl, but to do it on friendly territory, so to speak. Think about the two quarterbacks most closely associated with Alabama over the last couple of years. Well, Jalen Hurts moved on, but his successor in Tua Tagovailoa is now trying to rehab. And by all accounts, it's going very well. But trying to rehab from a devastating hip injury, a dislocation, as well as a broken bone. But he appears to be doing well. He's kind of given updates, but doctors have also indicated they expect him to make a full recovery, which is great. And he decided that he would make the jump to the NFL, even though a team may not be able to see him throw before they get to the draft. Now, there's been some talk. It depends on the doctors. He was needing to go through the 3-month checkup before they would release an update on his status. And he might be able to throw in a workout, but he's certainly not going to be able to run through all the drills and compete the way a lot of these NFL draft hopefuls will. And yet his body of work speaks for itself. And certainly the coaching of Nick Saban and the tutelage there at Alabama, that's also a feather in his cap, so to speak.
Tua's got a great spirit about him. He's very well liked by his teammates. He's got really good leadership qualities. I think everybody likes the fact that he's very talented at his position and he makes a lot of plays. And he's going to represent any organization in a first-class way.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Tua will end up going really high in the NFL draft. And the good thing about it is he will then have access to world-class athletic trainers as well as facilities similar to what he would have at Alabama. But an NFL team is going to be able to give him everything he needs, attention from its doctors as well, to make sure that he is not only treated correctly, that his rehab is ordered correctly, but that he's cleared at the right time, right? That they've got Tua's best interests at heart as well as the team and the investment they're making. But I'm excited to see how this crop of quarterbacks and certainly other positions as well, but Joe Burrow, the Heisman winner, right now appears to be the consensus overall number one. The Bengals are located 160 miles from where he grew up. And there's been a report that they were not going to trade the number one pick. But there's also been a Bengals statement that said that report was incorrect. They were still considering their options. So this is the time of the year where I tell you, beware. Beware of what you read and what you hear. Take everything with a grain of salt because there are definitely teams, agents, other interested parties who are throwing stuff out there just to try to confuse everyone or to drum up more business for their client. It's a lot of underhanded stuff going on out there. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What are you doing to fill the void this weekend when there's no football? A couple of fun answers that I like. Richard, I'm going to take the wife to the flea market. To the antique and thrift store shopping. Yes, there you go. Carl says, extra softball and basketball training with my daughter. Carl and Richard, I would hope those things would come before football, but I'm one to talk since football kind of runs my life. Also, this answer from Jason is fantastic. In light of our earlier conversation, Jason says, I'm going to try to fill the football void by becoming an internet sensation this weekend. How does one do that? I mean, I can think of a couple of ways you could become an instant internet sensation, but they're probably not ways that my boss would approve of, and nor would I do them. But how do you just become an internet sensation? You go viral with a video, but then you have to make it stick, right? I mean, anybody can have a video that goes viral. People stumble on viral videos all the time, and they're no—I don't want to say they're nobody special, but their names are not ones that you would know, and then they fade into oblivion because that's the beauty of the internet. There's always another viral video, another hour, another video. So I don't know. How does one stick as an internet sensation? Actually, I don't think I really want to know that. It's a rhetorical question. All right, coming up next, at the Senior Bowl, we've got NFL hopefuls. At the Super Bowl, we've got championship hopefuls.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap to Dak. Bane, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake, looking, floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! Ben with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Greece from the shotgun has time. Guns it down the middle, and he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
They're not playing this weekend, but of course we've got the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl quarterbacks on our brains, on our minds. We are into the final countdown until Super Bowl 54 in Miami, and we're going to follow the Chiefs and the Niners to Miami as well. We're taking our show on the road, so I'll be there Tuesday for the first afternoon on Radio Row. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, we will have a cool array of guests from actually the film world. Oh, I don't want to spoil anything, but producer Chris has put together some great stuff from the film world, as well as from the football world. We've also got an Olympian. It's going to be really cool stuff from Miami, but that's next week. And the final preparations for the teams are still wrapping up in their respective cities. In Santa Clara, as well as in Kansas City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in on what is quickly becoming a full-fledged Friday morning. Jimmy Garoppolo will be a starter for the first time in the Super Bowl. He's been there before with the Patriots, but not as the guy who was in the center of attention and the guy who had to be, he had to be ready to play, but not the guy with all the pressure on his shoulders. And as much as the conversation with the Niners is about their fierce defense, and it should be, a major storyline for the Chiefs, as they've won 8 consecutive games and have gotten to the first Super Bowl in 50 years, it's the Kansas City defense. And that's the role of Jimmy and the offense, is to be ready for what they'll see with the Chiefs D. Hey!
Talented group. They really are. They starts up front, 95-55. They got other guys that could get after it too. But just their overall team speed, they mix it up in coverages. They don't really, they're trying not to give you anything easy. And so it makes it difficult on us.
Yeah, they rebuilt that defense. Kansas City had 7 new starters when they began the season. Tyrann Mathieu has been a big part of what they've done. Frank Clark, who's had 4 sacks already in the postseason. So, yeah, the Chiefs defense gets overlooked for good reason. But that defense and the way that it's gelled and it's come together is a huge reason why Kansas City is now in the championship game. As for Garoppolo, there have been a lot of jokes about his role and, only throwing 8 passes in the NFC Championship against the Packers. And I don't know that it bothers him so much. He seems to be taking it in stride. But, of course, as a quarterback, you want the opportunity to shine on the sport's biggest stage. He certainly learned a lot from watching Tom Brady, as you can imagine.
I think just how calm he was, how, and everyone says that you got treated like another game, but just the way that he actually did it. I mean, I was right, up close and personal, just getting all the, picking up everything I could, seeing how he went about his business and everything. And, obviously it worked out the 2 times that I was there with him. And so try to transfer that over my game.
He did say he might reach out to Tom Brady because he'll take any last minute advice that he can get before what is the biggest game of his career. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Interesting tie between the two quarterbacks. They're not friends, wouldn't call them friends, but Jimmy told a story of his first interaction with Patrick Mahomes.
I didn't even know Pat at the time, for him to come out of his way after the game and, wish me luck and everything. Just a real class act. I mean, the guy's awesome on the field, off the field. He's, he does it all.
You guys stayed in touch at all?
Not really since then, no. But just for him to do something as simple as that, it went a long way.
See, I did a terrible job as a host of setting that up. I apologize. It needed context. But the last time the Chiefs and the Niners met, a lot of you may remember. If you're a Niners fan, you certainly remember. It was week 3 last season. Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL. Remember, he was trying to get that extra yard. He stepped wrong and pop, there went the knee ligament. And so he said that Patrick Mahomes made the effort to come across the field to wish him luck, to talk to him, and that he really appreciated the support from a fellow quarterback in what was a devastating moment for him. Finally had waited for his opportunity only to tear his ACL in week 3. So I apologize for not setting that story up right, but that was his impression of Mahomes even before they officially knew each other. But there's a definite respect when it comes to guys who play that position, or really guys who have made it to the NFL. They bash each other's heads in figuratively, while they're on the field, but they all do respect one another, and that always comes through. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, moving into the Kansas City Chiefs locker room and their preparations. Yes, of course, Mahomes also knows how physically tough and demanding that Niners defense can be.
They have guys that have had experience, and they have young guys that are super talented. And so you can see that they can, that the young guys have really grown as the years went on, as they've learned from other guys around. And, I mean, they're very sound in what they do and the coverages that they play. And so for us, it's about just having to execute at a high level and knowing it's going to be a great challenge on every single play.
Man, I can't wait for this matchup because something's got to give, right? Something's got to give. You've got one of the best defenses in the NFL. Major reason why the Niners have gotten to this point is because their defense has covered a multitude of sins of the offense. Even when Garoppolo's had a tough day, multiple turnovers, the defense almost never allows the other team to get some big lead where they're completely out of it. And that's the beauty of this defense. It's now full of confidence, a little cockiness, edge, and intensity to it. And they've got veterans. They've got young guys from the front to the back with Nick Bosa and then a Super Bowl winner previously in Richard Sherman. But then you've got the offense. The Chiefs' lightning quick offense. And it's not just what Patrick Mahomes can do. It's about the speed of guys like Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. It's about the jet sweeps and the misdirection and the constant motion that makes it so difficult for defenders to keep up with. And this is the first opportunity for Mahomes on the Super Bowl stage as well. How about that? We've got two newbies, two guys who've never started, who've never been in this game before, played in this game before. But Coach Reid has been there. Andy Reid has been there 15 years ago, but he and his staff have some experience that Mahomes will rely on.
Really talking to those guys, seeing what the week's like first off. I mean, obviously we have a schedule of how we're doing everything, but seeing what extra free time I think I can pick up in order to either study more or get guys together to get some more work in. Yeah, I mean, just using those guys and their experiences to really have an understanding of what we're going into and what to expect.
Andy Reid is definitely a sentimental favorite. As we approach the Super Bowl, you'll hear more and more about it. A lot of people in the football fraternity that want him to get a Super Bowl ring. He's been around for so long. He's got more than 200 wins to his credit. I wrote about it this week in my weekly column that the Super Bowl offers a feel-good story. Regardless of the ending, the feel-good story will be there, whether the Niners win, whether the Chiefs win. But in the case of Andy Reid, there's so many people that would love for him to win that Super Bowl ring and validate his career. That's what you keep hearing, right? He'll finally have the elusive ring, and that will make everything else worth it. Except you ask Andy Reid about that. Do you need a title to validate your career? And I think his answer is, not only is it mature, so it speaks to age and wisdom and experience, but it's also a great perspective.
Life's bigger than that. Now, that doesn't tell you that I don't want to win. I don't want that to be, I mean, this is America, man. I'm in it to win. And that's what we do. And that's how you're, so I don't want that to be slighted. But I also understand I have a perspective of life. Maybe it's my age now, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to, you know, work hard and coach hard, do all those things, and I'm in swinging, so the best of my ability. But I'm not going to tell you that, there aren't other things in life. I understand that, too.
Still, regardless of who wins, whether it's Andy Reid, whether it's Kyle Shanahan, who didn't take nearly as long to get back, the idea that one of these guys will have that Super Bowl hardware, I think, is incredibly appealing. And that's just the coaches. You've got redemption stories elsewhere, too. And the franchises themselves have both been down, 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 and had a lot of disappointment before getting to this point. So it's almost unfortunate that one of these teams has to lose. Though there is some talk. Now, I don't know if this is the case or not, because we can't predict the future. There is some talk that we're looking at a potential new rivalry. These two teams, if they stay together, could be around for a long time. They're built for the long term. But just in the here and now, I love it. Kansas City had just one playoff win since the early 90s before these last 2 years with Patrick Mahomes. Between that 1970 Super Bowl and the time Patrick Mahomes was named starting quarterback. So that huge void in there, the franchise was 4-16 in the playoffs and had just a single conference championship game appearance to its credit. We've talked about the Lamar Hunt aspect to it. He's passed away. I mean, did you know, by the way, I found this to be really intriguing. I didn't know this until I did my research for my column. Not only is he a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he's also in the National Soccer Hall of Fame and the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Isn't that incredible? Because he devoted himself to promoting and expanding and building all three pro sports into what they are today. It really fascinating story. And so I'd love it if you'd check out my column. I'll retweet it here in a second. So the Chiefs are easy to root for because nothing's come easy for them. Actually used this on our last show, but this also blows me away. They've had 38 different starting quarterbacks in their franchise history, going back to the 60s. Only five of them have ever won a playoff game. Far more disappointment than there's been success for the Chiefs, and this is their opportunity. But San Francisco, while they've had rings in their past, it's been a while. This team has been dwelling on the bottom, rock bottom, for a couple of years until the point at which they are now. And I think either one is a great story, regardless of who wins in Miami. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.